Amen. And the whole issue here this morning is worship. The whole issue is, I love you, Jesus. The whole issue is, Lord, I've come to be in your presence. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I love this moment in the service. Our children are going to go and be ministered to in the gymnasium area. So you're welcome to take them there. But one thing, be sure to pick them up. Don't leave them for Hannah Jones to take to lunch today. She might enjoy that, but I don't know that they would. Depends on what she's cooking for lunch. But I love this moment in the service because this is that moment that is, for me, it's a sink or swim thing. And the reason I say that is, Lord, I've heard from you this week, or I've not, and all of a sudden God begins to change my direction as I stand here and look at you today. And that's happened the last several weeks. And those type of situations used to worry me a lot and scare me a lot and things of that nature. Sometimes they still do because I don't like getting up here and making a fool of myself no more than you like looking at a fool. And so I struggle sometimes to say, okay, God, what are you saying? And fortunately, and as I was studying and working and doing the things that I do is how I prepare myself, the Lord's so good to me. He's good to you, but he's good to me too. So as I was studying and putting things together, I was sitting at my desk, and the Lord said, now this is what I've given you for tomorrow. It's settled. This is what I want you to speak on, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. This is what I've given you. So this morning, I didn't change on the spur of the moment. This is what I believe God laid in my heart for this morning. Now, I want to give you a title to a message. I don't always have a catchy title, and it's not about a title. But yet, it's a concept that I'm going to try to relay to you this morning. And just let me just say that when I'm done this morning, I'm done. I'm not going to land the plane for 30 minutes and tell you I'm almost done and I'm getting there. When I'm done, I'm done. If that's 2 hours from now or 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And y'all hold me to that. Okay? And I'm saying that because I feel like I've really exhausted your nerves at times by saying, give me another few minutes. I've wore you out enough over the last 10 years, so I'm going to try to break some old habits. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to an Old Testament book. I don't know that I've ever really preached out of this book. It's a book called The Lamentations. Now, it's going to take you a minute or two to find that, but if you go to Isaiah, where Brother Scott was earlier, everybody knows where Isaiah is for the most part. Go through the book of Jeremiah, then you're going to get the Lamentations. According to commentary, Jeremiah and Lamentations used to be one book because it's the same author. I want to give you this title as I get into this for just a minute. The title of the message is simply this, The Unchanging God in an Ever-Changing World. An unchanging God in an ever-changing world. The world around us is changing. And it's changing in ways oftentimes that we do not like. Oftentimes it boggles our mind, if I can use that terminology, how quick things are changing. When Jeremiah wrote this scripture in the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Now, for your homework this week, I want you to write down Lamentations. Just write L-A-M, period. That's the way I do it. And then there's five little chapters that you can read. There's no way I can get through this in 30 minutes of time to do it justice. So I'm going to hit the high spots. I'm going to hit the highlight of the book. When you look into chapter number 3, in verses number 20 through 23, this is what Jeremiah was actually saying. He was saying, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we do praise you, and we do thank you, Father God, for your amazing grace. I thank you, God, that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. I thank you, Father God, that we serve a God that is never changing, that God is who he says he is, and he will always be who he is. And I thank you for that today. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for that, and I thank you for your touch upon this service today. Anoint us, Father, with your Spirit. Anoint us and give us the time that we have together today for growth and spiritual discipleship, that when we leave this room today, we can all say that it was good and it was meant for us to be here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The unchanging God in an ever-changing world. There's two different sections of scriptures that I wanted to just briefly mention really quick, stepping into this message. It's actually a scripture out of the book of Malachi. When you look at Malachi, it is actually there in chapter number 3 and in verse number 6 that says these words, for I am the Lord, I change not. When you look from Malachi into the New Testament, there is another scripture in the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter number 13 and verse number 8. And it is a reminder of the consistency of God. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8, as Abby's put on the screen there, says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I remember back in the early 90s, I've got a niece, it's the same niece that's having surgery tomorrow, that had a school project. And her school project was that she had created in her adolescent mind a marvelous invention, and it was a telephone. It was a telephone that you could actually talk to the person on the other end and see them talking on the other side while you were on this side. It was a camera phone. Now, this was in the early 90s. At that time, technology had not advanced to the place that there was such thing as a camera phone. Now, when I began to think about how fast that our world is changing, I was told one time that as soon as you carry a computer out the door at Best Buy, it's almost already antiquated by the time you carry it out of the store. I remember my first cell phone. Anybody have your first cell phone? I remember my first cell phone. We were having a new double wide put in. I was at summer camp, and I just knew that when I got back home that house was going to be in place, but it's going to be in the wrong place. So I panicked, and I thought, I've got to have a way of communicating. So I went and got me a cell phone. Show Abby my first cell phone. This is actually what my first cell phone looked like. It was a cell phone in a bag. Anybody ever have one of those? We thought we were moving up and we thought we were high tech. I remember getting rid of that phone and getting another phone. I remember being in the woods squirrel hunting there, and some of you don't know what that is, but I was squirrel hunting, killing squirrels to eat. We didn't eat squirrels back then. We just killed them. I don't know what we've done with them. She doesn't cook squirrel, but I was in the woods, and I called her. She was at work at a hair shop, and I said, She said, "What are you doing?" I was talking really low on that phone. I said, "I'm in the woods." I said, "Can you believe I'm in the woods and I'm on the phone? Can you believe that?" I don't know if you remember that, but I remembered. I was sitting at the bottom of an old oak tree. I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. I'm in the woods on the phone. Aaron's over here getting ready to shoot a squirrel, and I'm talking, cool. Then when I was in Monroe, there was these little phones came out. They were called a Razor phone. Anybody have a Razor? Oh, I had to have a Razor. Everybody had to get the new Razor. It's a little flip phone, a little small phone, and you could text from it. You had to go through the A to get to the B, from the B to get to the C, and you had to click, 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 click. She's got a picture of that one, too. That's a Razor. Coolest thing ever had. That's a little bitty Razor phone. Matter of fact, let me show you something. Look at the back of that thing. I don't even know where the back is. Front's busted. That was my Razor phone. Same phone. Then, I can pick on Kayla. I don't know where she went, but I can pick on Kayla. Then they come out with this super-duper golly whopper of a technology thing called a Bluetooth. Same Bluetooth, antiquated, that paired with that phone right there, and you put it on your ear. Then you walk around like Spock, you know. You got this thing on your ear. But when they first come out, people thought you was wearing a hearing aid. What's that thing on your ear? We were cool. Well, I mean, we were super-duper cool, you know. How many of you know this is very, very antiquated? This is old. This is really, really old. Matter of fact, that should have been in the trash a long time ago. And we were cleaning out a drawer that I keep everything in. I'm a hoarder. I am a hoarder. I'm telling you, I admit it. I come across that thing not long ago, and I threw it in a box. And yesterday when I was, or the other day when I was, I thought, man, I'm glad I didn't throw that away. I might need that one day. That's why I don't throw stuff away, Sherry Green. But when I begin to think about this whole concept, we don't adapt to change very well. Do you know that it can be sunshine in one day? Now, this is Alan. And you can have a smile on your face, the sky's blue, and Mr. Bluebird on your shoulder. The next day, it can be rainy and cold and yucky outside, and my whole mentality changes. It's like depression over again. I said that to say this. Technology changes. The weather changes. Things change from time to time. Oftentimes we find ourselves in the midst of this thing called change, and sometimes we don't know how to deal with change. And sometimes good change is good and bad change is bad. And not all change is good, and not all change is bad. But really what I wanted to try to focus on here this morning was simply this. That when you look at the book of Lamentations, again, it don't just take in the five chapters of the book of Lamentations, because at one time it was one book out of the book of Jeremiah. When you look at the verses that I read to you, I read all five chapters thinking that there was something good going to happen at the end of the book of Lamentations that's really going to transpire the situation. Guess what? It opened in depression and it closes in depression. It opens with the people of God in captivity and it closes with the people of God in captivity. And Brother Scott hit it well, because you got Isaiah, then you got Jeremiah, then you got Lamentations. The people of God are in captivity of the Chaldeans as well as the Babylonians. And in Lamentations chapter number 1, actually in verse number 1, it's one of them things that I wasn't going to turn to, but it got my attention so much that I wanted to turn back to it and read it to you. And it says, "How doth the city sit solitary, in solitary?" Now watch this. "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is it she become as a widow? that was great among the nations and the princes among the provinces, how is she become a tributary? In other words, this is simply saying this. How in the world has Jerusalem got in the condition that Jerusalem is in? Now, Brother Scott, again, I hate to piggyback on what you're saying, brother, but it happened this way today. It's because the people was led away into idolatry and the people left God. May I remind you that God did not leave them. So I'm simply saying this, that in a world that is filled with change, God reminds us that I am the Lord thy God, as he reminded Israel, and I change not. When we begin to look at this situation, we can look at several things about what I believe the Lord is saying here today. First of all, unlike us, well, I can't put you into that category, but just suppose, unlike us many times and often, we find ourselves not being as faithful to God as we know God would have us to be. And Scott, again, I'm sorry I'm piggybacking on this, but here's the thing. Even though the people of God withdrew themselves from God and refused to be a part of what God was doing, God continued to be faithful unto them. Here's the thing that I wanted to get to. Even though the generations around us and although things around us is changing, there are things that I want to get to a little bit later that we must remember in the scripture that God teaches us. And this is very important. And please don't think I'm just saying this for the sake of redundancy and for the sake of saying what I'm saying because I don't have anything else to say. The problem with Israel is this. You can read it all. You can read about Nebuchadnezzar. You can read it all in there. That the culture of their day, here's a simple analogy. It might be okay if the boat is in the water, but you got a real problem if the water is in the boat. It may not be so bad if the church is in the midst of the world, because the Bible says that you're the light of the world. If the salt has lost its savor, we're supposed to be in the world. We're supposed to be affecting that change. But here's the problem in the world that we're living in today, that the world is changing the church at a horse pace rate. And we've got to be very, very careful, because the world at large is not a very faithful place. And God, I believe, is calling us to be more or as much faithful to him right now as we've ever been faithful to him in all of our days. When you begin to look at this, Paul wrote this in the scripture. The apostle had this to say in the word of the Lord. That again, you and I, we must refuse to be a part of what is this simple change in our world today. And change by itself is not bad, but change is bad if change leads you away from God into a sinful lifestyle away from God. And that's what happened to Israel. Now, when Jeremiah wrote this, you can see again all throughout the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. Why was he known as one over and over throughout the scripture, as this scripture text says, as the one whose tears wetteth his cheeks? The one who the scripture has defined, and he defines himself as the tears have wet my eyes, and as the tears have run from my face. Over and over it says that many times. That's why he's known as the weeping prophet. Basically, because of the simple fact that he had seen such destruction come to Israel. They had seen such desolation. You can read it all. It's in there. That he had witnessed such desolation. Here's the problem, friend. The problem is when we forget God. When you and I turn away from God, Listen, I don't mean to be ugly. I don't mean to be redundant. I don't mean to be repetitive. We may be dealing with different things in our society today because Paul warned young Timothy of the things that would come. But here's the thing. God said, I am the Lord thy God, and I will not change. If God was faithful then, God is faithful now. God is still faithful. God is not looking over the portals of glory, wringing his hands and wondering about his next move. No, God is faithful then and God is faithful now. I want you to understand that God is faithful in a changing world. God is not changing with the world that we're living in. We see this again throughout the word of the Lord. Paul again, and I mentioned Paul and I didn't get there, but Paul again, when we look at Paul, Paul often made us understand that how you understand the faithfulness of God is through and by the experiences that we go through. Anybody in this room ever went through something? And you wondered, how in the name of God am I going to go through what I'm going through and keep my sanity? How in the world am I going to get through what I'm going through right now and come out the victor on the other side? Can I tell you, flat-footed, holding on to this pulpit today, that God is going to get you through it today, that God is going to see you through it, that God is faithful. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. How are we going to get through COVID? How are we going to get through the year 2020? Hey, we're going to get through year 2020 just like we got through the year 2019 and 2018 and 2017. We're going to get through it by holding on to the unchanging hand of the everlasting Father God, and he's going to see you through, and he's going to see me through. Hallelujah to his name today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. A few verses of scripture here this morning. Verse number 13. Again, Paul was dealing with this. 13 through 14. This is what Paul says in the word of the Lord. He says, There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. We're all going to go through things. We're all going to go through things. I heard somebody say this. If God will lead you to it, he'll lead you through it. But here's the thing. If you never face a mountain, you would never know that he's the God of the mountain. If you never went through the valley, you'd never know that he was the God of the valley. Oh God, if you really loved me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. Hey friend, you're going through what you're going through right now because he loves you. What does that mean, preacher? There is no such temptation taking you as is common to man. Watch this. But God is faithful. God is faithful. The unchanging God in a changing world. That in the year 2020 of December the 6th, the same God that was the God of December the 6th in 2019 a year ago is the same God that I'm talking about today. Again, I don't have time to talk about everything I'd like to talk about, but God reminded Israel over and over, am I not the God that led you out of Egypt? Am I not the God that freed you from the hand of Pharaoh? Am I not the God that led you across the Red Sea? Am I not the God that you didn't know what to do when you got to the brink of the Jordan River, but God made a way where there seemed to be no way? And I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you need today, but I want to tell you flat-footed and say it, if you'll hold on to the unchanging hand of God, that God will bring you through it, and you'll look back on it one day and say, hey, look at God. Look how faithful God was. Look how faithful God's been to me. Here's the plea. Here's the call. Here's the cry. Israel left God. God didn't leave them. And as long as you hold on to God, that God is going to prove his faithfulness to you. Even in the midst of a temptation. Even in the midst of it. He says here in the word of the God, of the word of the Lord again, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape for you that you'll be able to bear it. Look at the next verse. He says in 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved brethren, flee. Flee, get away from it. You say, well, why in the world did you put 14 and with 13. Well, some people create their own storm and cry when it rains. Some things you need to get away from and stay away from. Some things you need to, hey, God is faithful. God is not going to bless your mess. God ain't going to bless your sinful lifestyle. God's not going to bless your wickedness. You say, preacher, are you calling us wicked? No, I'm just preaching today. You decide whether it's wicked or not, not me. My God, I feel him. I feel him, I feel him, I feel him. God's not going to bless our mess. God's not going to bless sin. Here's an analogy. Here's an analogy. He tells us to depart from idolatry. If you read throughout the New Testament, there's a lot of things that God warned Christian people, you better get away from and you better stay away from it. You better get away from it and you better stay away from it. And I'm going to be plain, I'm going to be blunt, I'm going to say it the way I wrote it, and I'm going to say it the way the Lord gave it to me. As much as God is faithful, watch what I'm getting ready to say. Evil is faithful too. Evil will always do what evil does. Somebody might say, well, I can start taking another little sip here and a little sip there, and I can take a drink and I'll be okay. It's not going to be like it was the last time. You know, there's this big plea right now. Young people, perk your ears up. Listen to me. There's a few of you that's in this room. I'm going to make somebody mad. I'm going to make them mad at me. I might even get an ugly letter this week. Marijuana is nothing but a gateway drug to other drugs. I have watched this mess. I've seen this mess. This is not a political factor. But you got leadership now and leadership that's upcoming that wants to do whatever they want to do and legalize this and legalize that and smirk their little smirky face and said, yeah, and I inhaled too. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to spell it out to you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just watch the news. It'll be there. Just this week, they want to go and legalize marijuana in the legislative of the United States, and it's going to trickle down. You think we've got problems right now? You wait till another generation of young people at 14 and 13-year-olds start smoking dope. You say, are you against smoking dope? Yes, I'm against smoking dope. I'm very against it. But don't you think for a minute that you can dabble in things. Somebody says, well, maybe you had an affair and your marriage ended. Y'all say, why are you preaching like this? Maybe you had an affair and your other marriage ended up in an adulterous bed somewhere, and you think, well, I can handle it this time, and this time it's not going to be like it was last time. Can I tell you that evil is evil? Evil is faithful too. Evil is evil. Hey, evil is faithful. I remember a time, and I was, well, several times, but some of you may remember this place over here, Haywood County, where I grew up, called Ghost Town in the Sky. Anybody ever been there? A few of you have been there. Years ago, the youth board, we went there. We took the young people there, but there was a time, now I grew up there. You got to understand that. There was a time that my brother and some boys in the neighborhood, We caught a copperhead. We gassed it out from under a rock, and my brother caught a copperhead. We put it in a container and took it to SoCo Gardens. Anybody remember SoCo Gardens? It's a little zoo up there. And they wouldn't buy it because it smelled like gas. Imagine that. But we went over there, and we were standing there, and there was a man down in a pit. It's a snake pit. That pit was full of rattlesnakes. I don't know what happened to the copperhead. I have no clue. But that pit was full of rattlesnakes. he had this long probe, and at the end of it had a hook on it, and he was picking up those snakes and looking, you know, piddling with those those rattlesnakes, eastern diamondback rattlesnake or whatever they were, you know. I got to looking at that cat, and I got to noticing something. He's in that pit with those rattlesnakes. Bobby, he's got these chaps on. He thinks he's taming those rattlesnakes. He's got these chaps on to about right here, strapped around his legs to keep those rattlesnakes from biting him. You say, what in the name of the Lord has that got to do with this message today? I'm going to tell you exactly what it's got to do. A rattlesnake is always going to be a rattlesnake. You can't tame a rattlesnake. And the evil that the enemy's bringing to you right now for you to participate in, are you hearing me? That evil will eventually bite you just like that rattlesnake. And eventually you'll look back on it and say, why did that preacher not warn me? Why did that preacher not tell me the truth? I'm telling you the truth today. Evil is evil, and evil has a nature, and evil will always get you to the point that you wonder, why in the world is God not faithful to me? It's simply this. God said, if you'll return unto me, I will return unto you. If you will seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek me early in the morning. Bobby Sparks taught me that. But here's the thing. The Bible says in the scripture that you and I have got to understand that we've got to be faithful. Evil will always be faithful. May I remind you and me this morning, even though we see this, I want you to focus for the next few minutes on these few little subjects that I put before you. First of all, thinking about everything I've already said, I can't help but think about Pastor Dotson. That man made an impact on my life. And I'm going to say it again. I know it's redundant. I know it's repetitive. But Pastor Dotson was repetitive. He said it a lot, Brother Beckner. Play with your dogs. Play with your cats. Play with your boats and play with your cars. But don't play with God. And I'm not at a loss of words. I'm standing in his presence in reverence. We sing in the presence of Jehovah. The priests, when they went into the holy place, they had to just go very cautiously. I hear with bells on the end of their skirts, with a rope tied to their ankle. So that when they go into the holy place, if they go in unholy and unclean and impure, God might just take them out while they're there. And it would be such a holy place and a righteous place that they would have to pull them out with a rope. And here's my thing today. We think in the world today that we're living in that's changing at a horse-paced rate. We can do any old thing under the sun. And God says, oh, that's okay. Grace has got it covered. That's called hyper grace. That's extending grace way beyond what God, the grace is supposed to be. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Flip the page, next page. Okay, here the thing is I'm getting to. As much as we've heard already, this is what I want you to go home with this morning in your pocket. In spite of it all, the reason Jeremiah said these words that Jeremiah said, and I'll get back to them in a minute, in the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3, is because Jeremiah was probably a very depressed type guy. Read it, commentary and different. He's probably very depressed when he looked around him and all he's seen around him was destruction. A city that used to have life. In a place that used to be joyful, in a place that used to be filled with activities, all of a sudden, nothing there but destruction, desolation. And that's the vision that Jeremiah seen, and Jeremiah wept and wept and wept. I don't think it was just because of the destruction that was before him, but simply because the people of God had left God. And they had walked away from God. They had left God. The first time, the first thing that's going to get all of us in trouble is to when you think you can leave God and still be okay. You're not going to leave God and be okay. Hey, I got things on my mind I want to say, and I can't, but I'm going to say, when God will only chastise those that he loves. Those that God don't chastise, that they're not his anyway. But those of us that know God, God will whip us like a bad daddy. He'll bring us back. When Jeremiah saw this, he wept. The words that I read to you was Jeremiah reminding himself. Let me just read them to you again. They're going to make more sense now. When he read these words, and when Jeremiah spoke these words, watch this. It was self-encouragement. It was self-encouragement of the simple fact that he had looked around and he'd seen everything that was around him. And then it was a reminder to himself of the faithfulness of God. You and I can look around today at the world that we're living in, and we can look at all the bad stuff, Brother King. But I want you to look beyond the bad to the unchanging hand of the living God. Three things fast. I mean real fast. So fast it's going to make your head spin. I don't even know if you can write them down as fast as I'm going to get to them. When he said these words here, he says, "My soul hath them still in remembrance and has humbled me." He remembered the good times. He remembered what was happening back in the day when Israel served God. Number two is, look really, 21. "This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope." A lot of stuff I could talk about right here. One is, our hope is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're above all men most miserable. The Bible says they set their hope in God, and they forgot not God. That's where we're at in America. We have forgotten God. But the church, we don't need to forget God. Jeremiah remembered the goodness of God. He remembered the promises of God. And then he says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Look at all this around us today. However many people sitting here, it's just God's mercy. Now, because... look in verse 22, the latter part. "Because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I started to write that down and go off singing a little bit, but I thought, nah, I'll just leave that word set. You could go into that hymn and you can sing, "Great is thy..." Has God been faithful to anybody in this room? He says here in this word, now watch this. He said, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." First thing I want to mention to you this morning is simply this. God is faithful to his word. Several scriptures, James 1:17. The Bible reminds us today of the Bible says in James 1:17 that in Jesus again, there is no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. God is who he says he is. And if God said it then, God means it now. We don't have a new agenda with God. God is not antiquated. Somebody says that's just old school preacher. No. James 1:17 again, the Bible reminds us that God is faithful in his existence. That God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He reminds us in the Word of God that his word is forever settled in heaven. He who called you is faithful. God is faithful. I want you to get that today. That an unchanging God in a changing world, an ever-changing world. Psalm 33:4, the Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right. All the works are done in truth. Now, one translation that said all of his works are faithful. Psalm 119, two verses of scripture here. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90. This is what the word of the Lord says. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Verse 90 says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and abideth. Great is thy faithfulness." Not going to take the time to elaborate on it a long time, but just simply this. That God requires faithfulness out of his people. I'm telling you, this is my heart. This is me. We can come up with every kind of excuse under the sun why we can't be faithful to God. Blame it on being narcissistic and blame it on your neighbor. Blame it on your poodle. But at the end of the day, your poodle's not going to stand before God. You are. And God's going to say, "Church of God, are you hearing me? Church of God, what have you done with what I've given you? What have you done with the life that I prospered you in? What have you done with your health? What have you done with your means? What have you done?" Well, and we can make every kind of excuse under the sun. Here's the thing, real fast. Told you I was going to go fast. Two places real fast, and Matthew 25 is one of those places. When you look at Matthew 25, he says this in verse number 21, I believe it is. He says, "And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So what happens with those that are faithful? They enter into the joy of the Lord. He also received two talents, came and said, "Lord, thou hast deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two talents beside them." He said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you rulers over much." Rulers over much is not here on this earth. Rulers over much is when we get into eternity. That we're going to be kings and priests, and God's going to allow us to rule according to our faithfulness as we've been faithful here on this earth. Are you with me? I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which hath received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gather where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that in thine." Verse 26, "And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strowed." Verse 27, "Thou oughtest therefore to have used thy money to the exchangers, and then at thy coming I would have received mine own with usury. Take therefore thy talent from him," take what he's been given, "give it to another that hath the 10 talent, because he was faithful with his, he was responsible with his. For unto everyone that hath shall it be given, to everyone and shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall it be taken away." You would think that God would give more to those that didn't have, but yet this is the very opposite, because they were not faithful with what little bit they had. My friend Don Braswell, I've been with Don a lot. I've not seen him in a year about it, but Don always picks up pennies in the parking lot. He said, "My daddy taught me to be faithful with my pennies. If I'm faithful with my pennies, everything else will work out." And here's the thing. We're wanting a Mercedes, but you're not even responsible with the Volkswagen that you've got. And God says, if I can trust you to be faithful with a little bit, I will exalt you. I will give you more responsibility. And because you've proven yourself faithful. You say, what in the world is that all about? God requires you and I to be faithful. Now, he says here in this latter part, sorry I have to read this part, but it's in the Bible. He says, "For everyone that hath he given in abundance, but from him that hath not shall it be taken away, even that which he hath." And then he says in verse 30, "And cast ye unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I don't believe in a place called hell. Don't make no difference whether you believe it or not. I heard Brother McGuire say that one time. He said, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Brother McGuire said, no. God said it. And that settles it. It's not up for debate. God is faithful. God is faithful in his existence. God is faithful in his word. God is faithful to reward the faithful. And here's the greatest one of all. That God is faithful to you and I. 1 John 1 and 9 is a very simple verse of scripture. Very simple verse. Because it says this in the word, if we confess our sins. Now, when I read, I look at words. An unconfessed sin is an unforgiven sin. Are you with me? So he says, first of all, if, and then he says, we. Not my neighbor, not my wife, but if we confess our sins, us, our sins, what is the sin? It's the missing of the mark. Don't do like Lucy and Charlie Brown. Lucy looked at Charlie Brown and said, Charlie Brown, how come you always get the bullseye? Charlie Brown looked back at Lucy and said, hey, it's always easy when you move the mark. You'll get that after a while, eating chicken, you'll get that. There's no standard. If we confess our sins, watch this. He, God, is faithful. Anybody in this room ever sinned? There's a few honest people in this room, the rest of you are in trouble. Do I go out and sin on purpose? No. Do I go out and sin intentionally? No. If you have a bad thought, or if you think something about somebody that you shouldn't think about them, or if you, you know, the enemy tries to bombard our minds, and I'll leave that alone. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Whether you believe it or not, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like the scripture that says, and while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. But he says here in the word that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And that's another word we could tear apart right there. If God loved me, he wouldn't judge me. God loves you because God judges you because he loves you. God is trying to get your hide out of that situation you're in right now because he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. God don't get no glory. God didn't get no glory out of Lamentations. God didn't get no glory out of this whole situation where Jeremiah looked and Jeremiah basically said, hey, I'm going to encourage myself and I'm going to look at this situation from a whole different... And I know that God is faithful. And I know that this thing's going to work out at the end if I'll just hold on to God. Scott, you said that part too, and I'm sorry, I'm redundant. We're just in continuity today. We're in sync today. God told Israel that. God's telling you that today. In this room today, there might be somebody that you sinned this week. Something that you know you shouldn't have done. Hello? I don't know that. I have no clue. Unless you tell me. I don't have a crystal ball in my closet at home and I go out and rub that thing in the morning and just see where people's at and what they're doing. I don't. Matter of fact, I don't try to figure it out because I can't redeem anybody anyway. I can't forgive. I don't try to figure out whether you're out sinning or not. That's up to you and God. I can only tell you if you do, though, it's going to be something to pay at the end of the day. God is faithful. God says in his word that he is faithful and he is just and to forgive us of all of our sins. God will cast our sins as far as the east is into the west. Cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered against us no more. I'll leave that alone right there for a moment. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us of all of our sins. There's an old song in the hymn book, and I don't know words. I have to depend on Martha to help me with words a lot. But we sing this old song out of the hymn book that says, what a day of rejoicing that will be. One of these days, as we're on this side looking forward, I don't know what we'll remember in heaven. I have no clue. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of these days, after a while, if you be faithful to God, I promise you that God, in His sovereignty, God will be faithful to you and to me. Let's stand. I told you I'd let you know when I was done. I just did. Now, I don't know who's in this room, and I don't know who needs to hear this message today. But I will say this, the way I feel it, maybe you've drifted too long. Maybe you feel like that God has forsaken you. Maybe you feel like that God has not been faithful to you. No, He's been faithful. God is just as close as the mention of His name. You may feel like that God's an antique and God is antiquated and God is way back yonder somewhere in your past life. I got a scripture I want Abby to put up there real fast. Jeremiah 29:13. My favorite. And you shall seek me and find me. That's faithfulness of God. When you shall search for me with all of your heart. Why? Because God's faithful. God is faithful. Father, we love you today. Lord, I don't know where this message finds anybody. I have no clue, have no idea. But I know where it found me. And it found me reminding myself of your faithfulness. Reminding me that God, that in you is life and life more abundantly. And today I choose life over death. I choose living over dying. I choose this day, as you told Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he had to make a choice, and the people of Israel had to make a choice. And today we make a choice. Not to die in the wilderness, not to die in the condition of the world that this world's in right now, but God, to serve you with all that is within us. If you're here today and maybe you've never been born again, maybe you've never been saved, all you got to do today is trust Jesus. All you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Say, preacher, I know I was saved as a kid, but I don't know about now. You can leave here with that assurance today if you'll just do what that verse said. Call unto me and I will answer thee and I will show thee the great, the mighty things which thou knowest not. And you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. If you'll search for Him, God is faithful. God cannot forget you. God will not forget you. God told Israel, I've written your name in the hollow of my hand. You're the apple of my eye. And that's how I feel God's telling you today, the church. That even in the midst of all the stuff we've been through this year, He's as close as the mention of His name. Amen.